God's word asks us to do is just praise Him. Just praise Him. And we call it praise music or worship music. And it's just, to me, it's phenomenal that when we truly praise Him, that He truly is here. He makes Himself known. Amen. I'm glad you're here today, tonight. Good to have our guests with us. And if you're a guest, you honor us by being here. You do, and I appreciate it. All classes can be dismissed. You got to pull the trigger on that, or it just clamps down everything. Teachers are out there in the hall going, "Where's my people?" And I'm in here thinking, "Hey, I got a good sized class tonight." You may be seated, by the way. That's another one you've got to do. And you know, we stand a lot. I want to tell you something. You may not believe this. I think you'll believe it because I'm not prone to just making things up. But the church I was raised in, we sang sitting down. Two of the three congregationals, we would sing sitting down. The third one, we may get up for that. But we sang sitting down. Had moves of God. We'd stand when that happened, but that's when you could always tell. It's hard for me to even think that we did that back then, because now we stand. If you ever are here and you feel like you've got to sit, don't think you've got to stand with us. Because some people just, you know, you're tired and it, you know, you might have a, you know, your knee giving you trouble. You're not going to be cast out for sitting. But I can't stand, I can't sit, and it's like it doesn't work anymore that way, you know. But I'm, you know, one of these days I may get to the age where I'll have me a chair. Well, maybe just leave that one up there and I'll sit there. I don't think I've sat in it yet, but I might one of these days. Well, we're moving forward so quickly to the end of the year. And this opportunity that I brought to you Sunday, trust me, this is going to take place, this dedication of this building. But if God moves on you to give, go ahead and do that, because you will not be minus that of those funds. God's going to bless you because He blessed the liberal giver. And it's going for a great cause. And I'm so looking forward to being in Haiti. We're going to be there tomorrow, and we'll be there for the dedication of the building on Sunday. And it's an exciting thing. We'll bring back some videos and photographs to show the church. And I'd like to be able to do it live, that it would stream here, but it just, you're in Haiti. And you can take photographs, you can take your camera, your phone, you can video, but you can't do anything. There's no internet like that there, and so, you know, not out in the open. But when we get back, we'll definitely be able to share that with you. Amen. John 16 and verse 24. One verse there I'm going to read for right now. I'll go back to this later. Until now, Jesus talking to His disciples, this was in that several chapters of a discussion He had before crucifixion, and this was Him talking to them during that time of the night that He was arrested. He said, "Until now, you have asked nothing in My name." Until now, to His disciples, "you've asked nothing in My name." They didn't need to, because He was right there. And so He could do things for them. Simon, you know, asked about taxes. He said, "Simon, go out and catch a fish and take the money out of its mouth and pay our taxes." They didn't have to beg Him, "Lord, what are we going to do? We owe taxes." He told them. He was right there. He said, "Take this boy's lunch, and that'll be enough, and we'll feed it." And He took that bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it back. And when He blessed it and gave it to them, you know, 5,000 were fed, 4,000 later were fed. Those are things, amazing works that He did amongst them. And they didn't fast and pray for those things. Matter of fact, they were going through the grain fields, and they were hungry, and His disciples took the grain, and they began to shuck it with their hands and eat it just raw like that. And the Pharisees blew a whistle, threw a yellow flag, and said, "We caught you now, because it's the Sabbath day, and they're doing servile work. They're doing manual labor on the Sabbath day." And He set them straight with that. He goes, "You know, look, they're with Me. You know, you don't understand who I am. I'm the one that made that rule. I think I can break that rule." You know, it was practical. May as well go ahead and, you know, eat the grain, but, you know, take the husk off of it. And they were all about those details. And so here, He's talking to them, and He said, "Until now," you could even say it this way, "you haven't really needed to ask Me very much, because I've done everything. Really, I, you know, cast your nets on the other side. Y'all remember that? You didn't ask Me. I just told you to do it. He just, you know, they didn't say, Lord, we're not catching fish. What's wrong? He just said, hey, how are you doing? Nothing. Hadn't caught anything. Just cast your nets. They didn't ask him to provide. He was just doing things for them to show them his miraculous power. Scared them to death one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd taken the boat across the sea. And he decides at that time to appear walking on the water. Scared them to death. And they thought he was a ghost. They thought they had seen things. He goes, oh, it's me. You know, I don't know the difference, emotions they went through. But see, they didn't say, Lord, could you ever just do that thing where you walk on water again? Could you appear just out of nowhere for us? He just did those things. But now he's about to be crucified, and he's going to be buried, rise the third day, and he will be with them for a while, and we know, and but we know that last part of the 50 days, the last 10 days, they're going to be in, you know, the upper room praying and witnessing to each other and expecting and talking about it, and then the Holy Ghost will be poured out. So he's talking about there's going to be a time coming very soon that until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Isn't it neat how he just got right to the point? Until now you haven't asked anything. Ask. And you will receive that your joy may be full. If you ask, you will receive. And he didn't say ask if it's in the category of necessary dietary needs, clothing, necessary clothing. He just said ask. The fact that he didn't put details on it should make you very excited. He just said ask. Wait, we do ask wrong. The Bible's word for that is praying amiss, missing the mark. I've probably prayed that way this week. And, you know, we do that. We pray and go in the perhaps wrong direction. Cool thing about it is when you pray like that for a while, just the Spirit will guide you. And it'll improve your aim. Before long, you're praying with understanding. You're praying with understanding and you're going, I was aiming at that, and look what you've done, because you've asked. And he said, no, you're okay, but just let's tweak this a little bit, and let's bring this around and pray with understanding. And so ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That part right there is huge, that your joy, you want to be full of joy. I'm going to be full of joy when I can tell you, you know what God just did for me? See, when I can say those things, the Lord just blessed us. The Lord just blessed us. Amen. And those are great things. Great things. I'll share a testimony with you that the expense of my father-in-law, my mother-in-law's husband, passing away was enormous. And my wife, you know, her and her brother decided, they said, let's let Dad be buried in Lakeland where Mom's going to be. And it's expensive. But that was the only option. You know, we're not going to leave him in Texas and have to go back there. Expensive. And you know the story, the yard sale that we went back, and we had a yard sale because we had to get rid of all so much stuff. And it amazed us that at the tally of all the things we sold after just 3 days, and all the other, God just provided so many things. Before we did the yard sale, I know I told you this, but some of you weren't here. Let me tell you. We decided first, let's give a sound system to a home mission church, to a startup church. And so we found one. The lady came to the house, a woman pastor in Beaumont, Texas, and she had a piano, and that's all she had was electric piano. No microphones, no speakers, and she bought the church with her own money. The lady has a doctorate degree, and she works for the prison system there and doing great, but God has touched her heart to build a church in the worst part of town because she said, nobody's touching them people, and I want to preach to them. Amazing testimony. I'm impressed with this lady. And she came over, and I filled up her van with brand new in-the-box sound equipment so she could have. I mean, I couldn't get anything else in there. Because, you know why? Because I hate yard sales. I'm being honest. I don't mind going to them if they got good stuff, but I hate doing a yard sale. I've had two or three at my house. Hate them. And so I needed God to bless what we were going to hate doing. Make sense? Now, don't go write notes on this and say, we've got a plan. This is not a marketable plan. This is like, I don't like, and my wife hates it twice as much as me. We have yard sales, and she stays in the house at our house. She goes, you handle it, honey. I'll tell you where those little stickers are, and they're over there. And she just don't like that haggling and people saying, you know, oh, you want $2 for this, you know, $2,000 item? How about 75 cents? You know, that just, she don't like it. And so we loaded this lady's van up. At the end of the last day, and the last day wasn't the last day, because when people come to help us move, they're going, hey, I want to buy that. Let me buy that. Young man even said, the guitar that Brother Seal wanted me to buy, I wish I would have bought it. And my wife said, it's at our house. We'll ship it to you. He writes her a check, including shipping, and gave it to her. And that's the last item I think we sold. Over $5,000. Over $5,000. Not bad for a yard sale. Not bad. That was the hand of God. And when it was all said and done, and you know, I told you about the humorous, you know, breakdown on the road with the blown out tire. You saw the great pictures of that in the U-Haul truck. But when it was all said and we got home, and we still haven't caught our breath, you know, you just, one thing happens in another. But we have paid off the expense by the hand of God. That's the Lord. Amen. And some of you, you've given, and ministers have given, friends have given. And if you got a check in your purse and you're like, well, I was just about to give that, but now, no, just there's always a need. There's always room in my mother-in-law's life. Trust me with that. But honestly, that's praise to God. I want to give him praise for that. I want to give him praise because that looked like a mountain, and it was, but God took care of it. But first, we blessed somebody. We said, this is going to be the first fruits of this. And then, I don't know how many times I said during that time, Lord, please, God, just open the windows of heaven. We're going to work and do what we can, but Lord, make up the difference and do the rest of it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God did. God showed up, and I'm so thankful that he did. So he says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. So to this point, Jesus was very much with the disciples. But when the King of Kings is in your company, you need to take advantage of the fact that he's there. Because you don't have it because you haven't asked yet. You have not because you've asked not. Jesus wasn't condemning them for not asking. He was just simply stating that, you know, things are going to be different when you don't have the one with you that can just multiply the bread and the fish. You're going to be on the, you know, on the target for that. You've got to do that. So, but he said, here's the thing. I'm not going to be with you, but you can ask me and I'll do what you ask me to do. This is a very important concept that we have to all be reminded of. You know these things. But we, you know, that's what a lot of teaching is a reminder many times that we need to remember to ask God for things and don't think it's too much or too big or too wide, but we just need to ask. Have you asked lately? And when you ask, did you go back again or did you just get disappointed in the lack of evidence and walk away from it? The framework of this gospel was being formed right now during this time. The foundation stones were being laid. These were the years of learning and growing with the Lord. And they saw miracles. They saw signs and wonders. They saw what he could do. And then before he left, he said, you need to ask me because these need to be yours. See, it's not just me. You've got to do these things that I've showed you. He fed thousands, walked on water, opened blind eyes, raised the dead. He comforted the weak. And they were about to turn a corner. And it was necessary for both the gospel story and their own foundation to come together. In other words, God wants to integrate you into his story, and it doesn't need to be a watered-down version. Amen. If he walked on water, walk on things you don't think you could ever walk on. Go places you don't think you could ever make it, because you've got to integrate yourself into the gospel and into the miraculous part of the gospel. Amen. We don't need to leave the supernatural. We don't need to leave the miracles behind. Just because we've got a society that seems to give us everything we need, there are still going to be times you're going to need God in your life, and you're going to need a miracle in your home, but you don't have it because you haven't asked for it. We just need to ask because he's available and he still provides. And when you ask and the answer doesn't come immediately, you go back and ask again. I have found two things happen when I ask. One, he provides, and it may take him a while. He's on his own time, not mine. Secondly, and it's kind of like I was saying a while ago, either he will answer it or he will educate me, because just being in communion with him, just being in contact with him, you're going to glean wisdom. Now, you don't want to ask without any ammunition. You've got to get a hold of the Word of God so that you ask with understanding. We pray with understanding. Praying with understanding is saying, I know who I'm talking to when I ask him. I know my God because I'm reading about him. The more we read, the more understanding we have about his nature and his character. We realize that he loves the weak. He loves those that are infirm. He reaches down to those that are cast down and he picks them up. He's the one that was the good Samaritan that went across the road and said, I'm going to heal you and bind up your wounds. That's the Lord's work. We need to learn about him. We need to learn about him and understand that he's not trying to hold it from us, you know, and keep it away. He wants to bless us with the good things of this life. Amen. So the framework was being put together. And so Jesus prophesied to them earlier. He said, now, there's going to be some tough times that are coming. There's going to be some things coming your way. And he said, you need to be prepared for those things. Matthew 10 and verse 16 through 20. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You're in the midst of wolves, so there are going to be wolves out there. So you need to be wise as a serpent, but have the nature of a dove. Dove doesn't hurt anybody. They won't hurt you. He says you need to have wisdom, but the fact that you're gentle in nature, that wisdom is going to save you. You know what to engage in and what not to. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, he's giving them some bad news, you would think. But see, before this, he said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be wise. He's not going to equip you to not succeed. He's not going to equip you to fail. So that's what we have to understand. We're not on a road to failure. We are on a road to be sometimes rebuffed. We're going to be turned away. And there's going to be times that your prayer didn't work out and your plan wasn't the plan really. And God educated you along the way and guided you. That's why we must persevere. I've even had, and I'm sure some of you can agree that you've been through these things, where I've had a desire to do something for God. And so I've approached God about what I wanted to do. And I thought, for sure, Lord, why wouldn't you want me to do this? I'm volunteering here. I'm asking you, Lord, what can I do? In my approach to God, he educated me. And what I wanted to do wasn't at all what I needed to do. But because I was drawing nigh unto him, he said, here, you know, now that I've got you on my hands, here's really what you need to do. Take this broom, you know, and go do something that you can do and start there. It's not always that way, but you get what I'm saying. Just the drawing nigh to him. Ask. That ask doesn't need to be the only time that we come to him. You know, if you had a rich uncle, by show of hands, no. But really, you know, if you had a rich uncle, I just give you a hint here. Don't let the only time you talk to him be that time you're going to ask him for some of his wealth. You need a lot of runway. You need a lot of conversations that have nothing as far away as you can get from his money. You know, I just like the way that your nose is kind of crooked there. It's just really manly. You know, you want to try to compliment anything about him. And later on, maybe, you know, I don't know how we'd do that. It's your uncle. It's not mine. I don't know where you would go there. But he's telling them, you're going to have to understand that you've got a nature, and it's going to be my nature working through you. He said, but when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak. See, this is where we normally fail, because we're going to worry about how are we going to handle the situation. Moses said, Lord, I stutter, I can't talk. He said, well, Aaron's going to be right there beside you. Now, that wasn't God's plan A. His plan A, now this is, I feel like, but he already foreknew that what Moses was going to do. But God's plan A was, let a stutterer go start talking to Pharaoh. How about that? You think he's embarrassed and he stuttered and everybody's, you know, the guys, you know, the magicians, the counselors of the king, you know how they act, you know, and all that stuff, and his serpent ate theirs. How great would it have been for him to be going, the Lord, red in the river, you know, it's something like that. And they're just laughing, but then they look, and so much more glory. But God is gentle. God is approachable. That shows you the nature of God when Moses says, Lord, I can't talk right. And the Lord didn't say, oh, come on now. He said, no, Aaron can do it. That would have been awesome, but I understand. Aaron's going to be the mouthpiece. And God said, it's going to be like you're the God and he's just the spokesperson. It's going to really work out. God commended him. He said, it's going to be all right working out this way. Wow. You know what that shows me? God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's affected by what gets you down or what you're anxious about. And he says, the apostle said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But with everything, with prayer and asking. Supplication, that's a fancy word for asking. Paul said, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding is going to take that part that was causing fear, your heart and your mind. It's going to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You got to ask. They'll deliver you up. Don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Lord, it's at my most fearful time that I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to engage in the work that I felt you lead me to, whatever it might be. And there you're going to be, taking over and leading me into a place where you get the glory and I get the benefit. And isn't that really what this life's about? God, I'm giving you the glory and I'm getting the blessing. It's not like you're going to cut God short. He's going to say, well, I blessed you, but look at me now. No. He breathed and everything happened. He spoke worlds into existence. Until now, he said, until now. Looking back, we can all see where we might have failed to take advantage of opportunities. And I know I've made a lot of great decisions. And in hindsight, really, that wasn't that great, I should have made another decision. We've all done that. We've looked around and regretted some things in our past. Jesus was saying that up to this point, he goes, until now, there had been little need to ask because I've been with you. There's points in our life with walking with God that you feel like he's sitting right there in the driver's seat. And it's like, this is awesome. I feel so close to God. It's taken me a while to get here, but isn't this the greatest feeling ever? Enjoy that feeling. Enjoy it. Because it's not going to be that way all the time. Because you're going to go through a valley. He knows that. The Lord's going to test you, and he's going to strengthen you by taking you through some things for the sake of glory. That word glory, the evidence of an almighty God in your life. Glory. Not my glory, not my blessings, not my ability, but God's ability. So he was saying up to that point, there'd been little need. And so there is a closeness that provided shelter in storms, food, teaching, and many proofs of their decisions to leave everything, to leave the fishing boats and follow him. And they knew that Jesus certainly was God robed in flesh. They realized, we know who you are. Amen. You are the mighty God. But see, this next level is the one we live on. This one is important because Jesus was telling them that the future would require faith in the unseen. And in times when you can't feel him, there's times you're not going to feel what you feel here on a normal Sunday or an active midweek service. There's times you're going to come in and just your feelings are dull. First thing you're going to wonder, well, I guess I should have prayed more this week. And that could be a reason, but not always. Friends, there's times when your mind is just going to be just besieged by things and you can't feel through those things. And then there is always going to be the enemy that would like to come around. But I would just be honest with you here, if you'll let me just be brutally honest. We blame a lot of things on the devil, and he is not even within 100 miles of us. We don't need a devil because we've got a human nature. Sometimes I think he's probably over there weeping, going, I didn't do it. They just blaming me. I get blamed for everything. We've got Adam's nature. We have a fallen nature. He did enough in the garden. He pretty much locked it up right then. But the Lord's plan was, hey, I'll still get glory out of that. Man can be weighted down by his flesh, and I'll still win. And that is the glory of God. As long as we learn to ask him for the things we need. That right there, that's where the economy of God starts stirring up. That's when it starts spinning, when we realize there's things I need in my life. I have actually stood and thought, it's about to go and start praying, so let me think. What is my greatest need? See, here's the deal. We can get crippled and accept a certain situation we're dealing with and just think that's our lot in life. But wait a minute. Is it really, or is that an opportunity? Is it an opportunity to go to God in prayer? Now, here's a tip. Back up and look at the situation. Now, I'd like a show of hands, because this is not revealing any deep, dark secrets. You've got something you really could use some God in. Yeah. Yep, 96% right there. Just a quick look. We all have those areas where we need God. When you look at that right now, are you willing to put it all on the line and believe, not through your understanding, but believe that God is able and willing to work it out? All right? You first of all have to know He can do things. He can do things. Oh my, He can do so many great things. He has ways you don't even know about. You don't even know about. I'll tell you, this was a really awesome blessing God gave me when, and you that have been here for a while, you know this blessing. But when we moved to Fort Lauderdale with my mother-in-law here and my father-in-law to start a church, it was me and my wife and them two and her brother Dean, five of us, and went there to start a church. And I just, you know, prayed God take care of us. We were in town a few minutes. We stopped, made a call. I had a job that, you know, we thought was there, and it was. It wasn't a job that would support a family. It wouldn't support, you know, hardly a car payment, but it was a job. And you know, it was all right. We were sharing expenses and, you know, living in a nice big house and all that. And it was just a year later. You know, I'd done a job for a while, then I went back to my default construction job. And my mother-in-law worked for a lady that, you know, the family knew, friends of the family. And she came to her and said, "Would your son-in-law like to work at UPS? And I'd been asking God, "Please, I need a job. I need a better job. I need a career job. We want to have children, you know, and we want to be able to afford them too." But the prayer, I'm looking at the house I'm working on. I'm looking at, you know, my tools and you know, I'm working for cash. You know, this guy's like, "This is cash. I'll come by and pay you every Friday." And, you know, you're not going to retire on that. It's just an hourly wage, and 40 is it. And I'm just, "Lord, what am I doing?" And all of a sudden, a career job is presented. And it was a God thing. And here's the thing I didn't know it would do. We're in a strange place. We're in a city, a metropolis down there that I was foreign. The people's accents, just the different nationalities, it was amazing. And I was learning things. And, you know, just the little bit that I'd had. I got a job that I drove all over the place. And I learned that place like the back of my hand. I felt like I was a part of the fabric. Only God can work those kind of things out. But see, I just prayed, "God, I need something better. I need something better." Sometimes all you got to do is just open the door a little bit, and then God will draw you in. I didn't know where it would be, but I just said, "God, I'm going to have to trust you." You have to, first of all, believe God can make a way where it doesn't even exist. The way has not been invented yet, and God can help you out. I promise you. But see, this is the level that we live on, and it's important for us to understand that God is standing there saying, "You need to ask me." John 16, 23 and 24, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Jesus is saying, "I'm not always going to be standing right here. I'm not going to be breaking loaves and fishes. You're going to have to learn to ask directly to an invisible God that you don't see. You're going to have to learn to do that. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Where's our joy? It's waiting for us to ask God for something that's going to bring us a testimony, that's going to bind us to Him and solidify our place in God's purpose. Because right now, "Lord, I may not see it, but I know it's coming, and I'm going to ask you." There are miracles upon miracles upon miracles that have fallen by the wayside because we ask a little bit, and while we're in the midst of asking, this really happens. True stories abound. While we're asking, an option that's cheaper and easier comes along, and we think, "Well, I guess this must be it." And so we, you know, get into that situation and go crippling along and think, "Well, after all, that's probably what I deserve." We need to ask and keep on asking. Ask, and it may not be that job, that may not be the one, but I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to keep asking and keep on asking. I'm going to ask and keep on asking. Amen. We can either fight about what we don't have or ask about it in his name, which I'd rather ask about it in his name. In that day, coming to a landing here. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. It's the time following the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. He said, this is the day he's made right here. This is that day. There's two ways the word ask can be used. One is to ask as an inquiry, just to inquire. And the other is to ask for assistance. You know, you can ask, hey, how's things going? That's just, you're curious. He's not talking about being curious. He's talking about being powerful. You need to ask something in my name because your joy needs to be topped off. You need to have as much joy as you can get. See, God is just as able to answer your question as to come to your rescue. Actually, I've asked questions. I've asked God questions, and I didn't get my answer. Eventually, you know, you learn those things. You learn what the answer is. You'll arrive at it soon enough. My son Jared was a question asker. My wife tells the story about him saying, Mom, where does electricity come from? Do you know what comes from them wires? No, I know that, but I mean, somewhere down the line, what's happening to get it into our house? He was asking a question that we had to say, we don't really know how to explain it to you. Something turns, just don't worry about it. I want to know. See, we need to have that kind of desire for knowledge of the working of God. I want to know, what do you want me to do, God? Give me something, Lord. Give me. I've got to know it. And you have that. You have that. And I want to tell you, God is just as able to answer your question, to come right to your rescue. It does not matter to God. What is my faith able to allow? Do I have the faith to go ahead and open the door and let God come in and bless me greatly? Or is my faith more about, well, he's going to direct me and, you know, pastor will say something and I'll get my answer because he'll teach on it and I'll say, oh, that's it. That's just the word of God filling in the blank. What God wants to do is fill up your storehouse. He wants to give you something that will last today and forever. We need these kind of blessings in our life. And you know, you're leaving yourself unprotected. I don't want to make this a negative thing here, but we leave ourselves unprotected by the knowledge of God's power and goodness, if we haven't asked him anything lately. We've got open sides of our dwelling place that we need to put a blessing there and say, we know God helps us in this area of our life. Some of you have been working a job for a long time, and you seem to be passed over for a raise, and you're going, well, you know, probably it's, hold on. Don't look at the people and the hierarchy and, well, the boss's brother-in-law is in that position and I was asking. Don't look at all those things. Just say, God, let's just kind of erase the screen. I want that job right there. All right? Now, first of all, ask yourself, why do you want the job? Why? Am I just wanting to feel better? Is it for my ego? We got to strip all the leaves off and just we got to have that stick that Moses had because that really was his answer. We need to say, what do I really want out of this? Because what the Lord will do through that asking and keep on asking is he educates us until we begin to learn about ourselves. We kind of catch glances of ourselves in the mirror, you know. I was going through Dillard several years ago. And I was at the peak of my heaviest I ever weighed in my life. And it was, you know, I'm not big. I don't know. Let me just level with you. I'm really not that big. I may look 6'2". I'm not. but I looked across at one of those square things that have mirrors, and I just thought, that guy is goofy looking. Seriously, I did. I just thought, if he knew. You know, because he just looked, this guy was just kind of, you know, small head, short, and just, he didn't look like he didn't need that kind of weight. And just for a split second, I judged him. I said, that guy just doesn't need to weigh that much. He looked, you know, just one of them snap. I felt guilty about it for just a second until I realized it was me in the mirror. And I was like, oh, no. I was buying pants. The last two pair of pants I'd bought were two or three inches bigger, but then they had the elastic also. So I was buying a number that was bigger than, but it also, so you don't really know until you look in that mirror and go, oh my goodness. God will lead you past glimpses of yourself. Because if I don't see me, see, I can't get to where I need to be by being this. I've got to be what he wants me to be, because many times what God lays on you is a burden for something that you desire, but he says, in order for you to get what you're desiring, you're going to change into what I want you to be. And when you change into what I want you to be, two things happen. Either you're going to find out I don't want that, I like this, or this is going to be able to go get that. Either way, God can work on all sides to perform an awesome work, but we've just got to articulate it and say, Lord, I'm ready to start asking. I'm ready to start telling you my life's not working out. I need you in my life today. We've got to ask. We've got to ask. And you cannot do any of this asking if the only time you pray is when you come up here for Wednesday and Sunday. Yeah, it won't work that way. It won't work. Another a repeated story. I repeat this a lot. When my father-in-law called us and said, we've got permission to go start a church from the Florida district, and they're going to let us start a church in Fort Lauderdale, I had this vision of us moving into this house that had this room in the back to the right. It never was there, but that's my vision. And it was going to be a room I would go in every night, and I would just be able to go in there and pray for like an hour every night. This would be my prayer room. And you know, they could all come in there, and we'd have a prayer meeting. That was my vision. I'd have this place to pray. It didn't happen. We got this huge house. We had an apartment in the back. And we fixed that house up. We stayed there 6 weeks, and the owner sold it right out and said, I'm sorry, y'all got to move. And, you know, Shangri-La, down the tubes. And we moved 30 minutes north of my job. And I'm driving down Pine Island Road. It was a long little two-lane road, canals on both sides. And my job was, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon to about 12 midnight. Ever 4 nights a week, you know, and I'm driving to work, and I'm going, God, I just wish this wasn't my vision, Lord, and what I wanted was that you might could just give me a place to pray, and I haven't had a place. We're living in a house. We're sharing the rent. That's okay, and I we're having church in our living room, but, Lord, I wanted a place to pray. I want a place to pray. I'm talking to God in my car, and it occurred to me, I've got 30 minutes to work every day, and 30 minutes home every night. And right there, doing some quick math, I realized, Lord, I've got my hour, my prayer closet. My prayer closet was a Mustang. Amen. And it worked. You can, you know, it's not the prime. It's not. I wouldn't tell everybody, hey, just get you a car. Doesn't matter which one, but let's all pray. If that's what you got to start out in, as a car, but you what you need to do is that Mustang caused me to start praying. And I said, all right, God, I want you to give me a better place to pray. I want you to give us a church of our own. And it was the place where I began to pray from there into something else. And that's what God's will is. He will not let you go from a Mustang to a cathedral, but you're going to go from wherever it is that you got a hold of him, and you're going to pray your way into his purpose and into what really is needed in your life. Because, oh, we don't know what God needs us to go through. We always have this feeling, perhaps, I know I did, is that we're right at the end and we're almost there. And that was 1982, you know. So we're not, I mean, it wasn't like the world, the Lord was going to come. I'm glad he didn't, but if he wanted to, I hope I was ready. No, but we need to live and pray as if we're going to live this life. And if he comes tomorrow, you're right where you need to be. But you need to get into a place where you can start asking. That car was the place where I started asking. Help me, God, to accept what I have. That was one of my prayers. Lord, help me to not keep demanding and desiring something up here. Give me, Lord, what I ask. Let's stand. Ask and it will be given to you. Matthew 7:7. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Anybody say, yeah, I like to do that? No, we wouldn't do that. Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Folks, don't settle for a serpent. But seriously, he said, that's not your father. When the Lord, when you're praying for one thing and all of a sudden you're holding something in your hand and it's not what you asked for, don't think that God hates you and he doesn't have time for you and, well, I guess he just thinks I like snakes. Don't settle, because that's not your heavenly father. We will often reach out and grasp hold of anything and say, that's the will of God. Apparently he just doesn't care for me. That's not your father. No, we have to ask. We have to ask. If your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If you then, being carnal, he means evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? That's where we're going to put the word ask right there. How much more? We just got to ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's gather to the front as we're about to be dismissed. They're going to sing, and we're going to come here and just seal this into our hearts, into our minds.